Time to talk business with Jack Robinson. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Steve.
Jack is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. This week, there was a big announcement about yet another effort to bring a major university to Placer County, a satellite campus for Sacramento State. And just a couple weeks ago, you and I talked about a proposed master plan development in the county that hopes to attract a private university. So what's going on here?
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but we're seeing a real resurgence of this idea of building a project around a college campus, especially in Placer County. Part of it is there's a lot of demand and not a huge supply of higher education. And part of it is that universities are big economic engines, both for the short and long term, and they're pretty recession-proof. But, you know, also, they make for great property values, and that's why developers are eager to see them as part of their projects.
Yeah, I remember earlier this year, there was a developer who announced plans for a campus east of Rancho Cordova called Cordova Hills.
And then we have these two projects, both of which have been around for years, or revived recently in Placer County. The first one hopes to make a deal with the University of Warwick in England to build a 6,000-student campus here. And the second hopes to build, as we said, a satellite campus of Sac State. And it just happens that they're pretty close to each other.
So are these plans in competition with each other?
Well, in theory, no. The two Placer campuses would be complementary, or could be, with different missions and different kinds of students. And obviously, two campuses up there would create sort of double the economic benefit. But, you know, as we discussed last time, the economic challenges are considerable. Sac State is all in favor of this satellite campus, but it's not clear where the money would come from and when it might happen. And the private university has an even steeper hill to climb, even though the property owner, is providing free land and other assistance. So the alternative is an idea that Roseville has been talking about is starting small with a downtown center that several colleges could share, and that would help meet the need for more higher education and probably be more doable, at least in the short term.
Well, speaking of Roseville, I'm sure the city isn't celebrating the news that Sure West is giving up its name to become part of Consolidated Communications Incorporated.
Sure West started as Roseville Telephone Company, a little phone company that grew and made smart moves into the internet and cable TV. But in the last year, the company sold itself to a similar but bigger company in Illinois called Consolidated Communications, possibly the most uninspired corporate name ever. And now Sure West is completing the merger by giving up its old name and taking on the Consolidated Communications name. So Sure West is well regarded here because it delivers really sophisticated services and keeps very accessible local identity. Personally, I've called for tech support help from Sure West and been amazed at how personal the service is. But it's going to be tougher to keep that identity now that they've been fully absorbed.
The Business Journal has been reporting about several new hackathons being planned by local entrepreneurs, sort of a way to help jumpstart companies and attract interest in the region startup culture. How far can this idea go, and what are the concrete benefits?
You know, it's tempting to say we've jumped the shark on hackathons. Mark Anderson, our tech writer, has a roundup this week, and he lists like a half a dozen of these things coming up. There is the serial hack events that Hacker Lab puts on, and they've had several, and there are several more coming. And Sac State is planning a hacking marathon of its own next month with a corporate help from Intel and others. And my favorite of the new ones is something called Farm Hack, where people interested in ag technology will get together and brainstorm high and low tech ideas for farming. So if you Google it, you'll see this is a thing around the country. But I don't think it pays to be cynical about this. The organizers of these efforts are really have accomplished something, I think, by teaching us all to think differently about Sacramento as a creative, inventive, entrepreneurial place. It would be great if the next Twitter or Instagram is born out of one of these events. But even without that, I think they've helped redefine our sense of Sacramento as a born government town.
The holidays are just around the corner, and I'm curious, what kind of shopping season can retailers expect as they head into this critical fourth quarter?
It's going to be a great year for retailers. So with foreclosure rates back to normal levels, unemployment rates finally coming down, people are in a buying mood. And you can see it in some of the behavior of the big national retailers, like Apple, for instance, recently introduced a thinner, lighter iPad, same price as earlier models, and that will be a hot commodity. Amazon's raising the price of free shipping, which tells you they see a big season coming. They don't have to have the same level of incentives. And locally, the Sacramento Kings, I think this is interesting, for the first time are opening a series of what they call pop-up stores, temporary stores around the region to sell team merchandise. So it isn't even Halloween yet, but it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
All right. Thanks, Jack.
You're welcome, Steve.
Jack Robinson is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We talk Friday mornings about the region's economic news, and you can hear previous business roundups at capradio.org/business. I'm Steve Milne, Capital Public Radio News.